Good morning and welcome to Claude Daily. I'm Alex. It is Saturday, May 23rd, 2026, and I am going to say this up front. We have one of the more stacked show rundowns I have seen in a while.
I texted Alex at 6 in the morning, 6:04 to be precise.
He did 6:04.
Because I was going through the rundown and I genuinely could not believe that this all happened in 1 week. Like, I kept refreshing, thinking maybe some of these were from last week and I had missed them.
They were all this week.
They were all this week.
So here's what we're covering today. We have what I think is the biggest single cybersecurity story of the year so far. We have Claude planning actual Mars rover drives. We have a pharmaceutical giant deploying to 30,000 employees. A $200 million collaboration with the Gates Foundation. A genuinely eyebrow-raising compute deal. And some real tension in the industry about whether the economics of all of this actually hold up.
Oh, and a spicy take from PC Mag that I have been sitting on patiently.
Sam has been patient about the PC Mag thing. We will get there. But let's start where we have to start. Project Glasswing.
Okay, so can we set the scene here first? Because I want people to really absorb this number before we start putting asterisks on it.
Let's do it. So Anthropic put out what they are calling an initial public update on something called Project Glasswing. And the headline figure, the number that is absolutely everywhere this morning, it's in Interesting Engineering, it's in Cybersecurity News, it's in the Indian Express, India Today. The number is 10,000. 10,000 critical software vulnerabilities identified by Claude Mythos in a single month.
10,000, 1 month, not a typo.
Not a typo, not an approximation. And Cybersecurity News is specifically using the term 0 days, which for listeners less deep in the security world, a 0-day vulnerability is a flaw that was previously unknown to anyone. 0 days have elapsed since discovery. There is no patch waiting. The moment it's found, it is potentially exploitable.
And these are the most dangerous kind. These are the ones that nation-state hackers pay millions of dollars for on the gray market. And Claude Mythos found over 10,000 of them.
In 30 days.
I want people to understand. Individual security researchers, really gifted ones who have built entire careers around this, they find vulnerabilities in the single digits. Maybe dozens over a career. 10,000 in a month is just, it's a different order of magnitude entirely.
And the name, I think, is worth sitting with for a second. Glasswing, as in the glasswing butterfly. The wings are transparent. You can see right through them.
Oh, I didn't catch that until right now. That's a deliberate choice.
Very deliberate. The idea being that Claude is making hidden vulnerabilities visible. Things that were opaque in the codebase suddenly transparent.
That is good naming. That is evocative. I respect that.
Interesting Engineering describes this as a significant escalation in applying large language models to cybersecurity. Which is, I think, a fairly restrained way of saying this is kind of a big deal.
Kind of. And here's the thing. Anthropic themselves are saying more access is coming. India Today's coverage specifically notes that. So this isn't a closed experiment that happened in a lab and they're describing it after the fact. They're treating Glasswing as an ongoing initiative they want the security community to engage with.
Which is smart. If you are about to fundamentally reshape how vulnerability research works, you need the people who have been doing it the hard way to be in the conversation with you.
Right. You can't just drop 10,000 0 days on the security community and wave goodbye. These need to be reported to vendors, tracked, verified, patched. There's an enormous amount of coordinated work that follows from a discovery at that scale.
And which connects directly to the cautionary note that Anthropic itself issued this week, which The Decoder covered. Anthropic warned, and again, this is not critics, this is not outside researchers, this is Anthropic about their own product. That Claude Mythos preview finds bugs faster than developers can patch them.
That is remarkable corporate communication. Our product is so effective at finding security holes that the people responsible for closing those holes cannot keep up. That's the warning label they chose to put on it.
And it signals something genuinely significant about where we are in AI-assisted security. The question in the security community for years was, can AI find real vulnerabilities? Now the question is apparently, can humans respond to all the vulnerabilities AI finds?
The bottleneck has completely flipped. Discovery was the hard part. Finding the bug was where humans spent most of their effort. And now apparently, discovery is fast. Patching is the hard part.
Which has enormous downstream implications for how software development, security operations, and vulnerability management are structured at basically every organization.
If you have a system that can generate 10,000 valid novel bug reports in a month, that's not something any traditional security team can absorb. You'd need a pipeline. You'd need almost certainly you'd need AI on the remediation side too, which raises this recursive question.
Is the answer to AI finding bugs? More AI fixing bugs?
Right, and that is genuinely where the industry conversation is heading. Not hypothetically, actively.
We should be fair about what we don't know from the available reporting. The detail on verification is limited. How many of these 10,000 were independently confirmed by the affected vendors? What's the severity distribution? Critical can span a fairly wide range.
Fair. Cybersecurity News is using zero-day specifically, which implies novel and unpatched. But the full methodology, how classification was done, what the confirmation rate looks like, that's in Anthropic's full update on their site, and the snippet coverage doesn't give us the granular breakdown.
All of which is worth noting. But even with appropriate asterisks, 10,000, 1 month, that number doesn't get small with caveats.
It does not shrink.
It does not. Okay, from software security on Earth to something considerably further away. Because there is another story this week that I think is getting underplayed. And I think it's getting underplayed specifically because it is competing with 10,000 zero-days for attention.
The Mars story.
Anthropic put out a release this week. Claude AI powers first AI-planned Mars rover drive. Not a simulation. Not a test environment. Actual NASA operations for an actual Mars rover.
So, just to make sure I'm characterizing this correctly, Claude is not driving the rover in real time. The speed of light communication delay alone makes that impossible. But Claude is planning the drive, the sequence of movements and operations that the rover then executes autonomously.
That's the understanding. And that distinction actually matters, because in some ways planning is harder than real-time control. You cannot course correct. The feedback delay means you have to get the plan right before execution, because by the time you know something went wrong, the rover has already acted on the plan.
And these rovers are hundreds of millions of dollars. There's one shot. The rover cannot call home and say, wait, there's a boulder here that wasn't in the map. You have to have anticipated it.
So the planning task is genuinely complex. Terrain analysis, science objectives, power management, communication windows with Earth. All of that has to be woven together into a coherent operational plan that works under real physical constraints.
And Anthropic is saying Claude did that. For a real drive. On Mars. That is extraordinary, and I feel like it's being treated as a footnote because of Glasswing, and it should not be a footnote.
It really shouldn't. And it fits into a broader pattern we've been watching all year. Claude moving from language tasks into operational and scientific infrastructure. This is Claude not as a writing tool or a question-answering tool, but as part of how we run scientific operations on other planets.
5 years from now, when we're talking about the history of how AI got integrated into space exploration, this is probably a line in the history books. May 2026. First AI-planned Mars rover drive.
And I want listeners to register that it happened, even amid a very crowded week. All right, speaking of big institutional commitments to Claude, let's talk pharmaceuticals, because this is a significant story on the enterprise side.
Bristol-Myers Squibb.
Bristol-Myers Squibb. So TipRanks had the coverage on this one. Bristol-Myers is deploying Anthropic's Claude AI across 30,000 employees.
30,000, that is not a pilot, that is not a department rollout, that is a whole company.
And the market noticed. The reporting specifically mentions that BMY stock rose on the announcement. So investors read this as a real productivity signal, not just a headline.
Which I think tells you something about how investor thinking on AI adoption has shifted. A year or two ago, some analysts were treating enterprise AI announcements as hype. Now a large-scale deployment is being read as a genuine signal about operational efficiency going forward.
And Bristol-Myers specifically is an interesting case, because pharma is a domain where accuracy, regulatory compliance, and data sensitivity are all extraordinarily high stakes. This is not a company that can tolerate AI that produces unreliable outputs.
Right? These are people doing drug development, clinical trial operations, regulatory filings. The cost of a mistake is not, we sent a slightly weird email. The cost of a mistake can be genuinely serious.
So the fact that they're going company-wide, 30,000 people, suggests a level of confidence in the model's reliability and domain-specific tasks that we did not see from pharmaceutical companies 12 months ago.
And this connects to the broader maturation story in enterprise AI. Companies are past the let's explore what this can do phase. They are into the let's actually restructure workflows around this phase. And that is a very different kind of commitment.
30,000 employees isn't exploration, that's infrastructure.
And the stock bump says the market agrees. Okay, what else is happening on the partnership front?
So there is also a $200 million collaboration with the Gates Foundation this week.
Okay, $200 million. That is a significant number even by tech industry standards. Tell me what we know.
So detail is somewhat limited in the sourcing, but the broad strokes are a substantial collaboration focused on applying Claude to global health and development challenges. The Gates Foundation works on infectious disease, maternal and child health, agricultural development in low-income countries, sanitation infrastructure.
These are not typical enterprise use cases. This is AI applied to some of the hardest and most consequential problems humans face.
Think about what AI-assisted analysis could mean for disease surveillance, or modeling agricultural yield under different climate scenarios, or helping community health workers in low-resource settings with diagnostic support and protocol guidance.
These are areas where even marginal improvements in accuracy or turnaround time can translate into lives saved, real, measurable impact on mortality and quality of life.
And $200 million is not a press release partnership. That is a serious institutional commitment on both sides. The Gates Foundation does not write checks of that size for symbolic reasons.
And it allows Anthropic to tell both stories simultaneously. We are commercially viable, we are approaching profitability, we have enterprise contracts at scale. And also, we are working on malaria, we are working on food security. Those are both true this week.
Which is the story Anthropic has always wanted to tell. The AI safety mission and the commercial success as mutually reinforcing rather than in tension.
And this week they have receipts for both.
They do. Let's talk about the money more directly, because there is a financial dimension to this week's news that is genuinely wild. The Verge reported this week that Anthropic is paying $15 billion per year for access to data centers associated with Elon Musk.
Okay, wait, hold on. Say that again slowly.
$15 billion per year for compute.
For data center access, that is, I want to put that in context. That is a number that most Fortune 500 companies don't generate in total revenue.
It is a remarkable number. And the relationship context here is notable, because Anthropic and Elon Musk are not exactly ideological allies.
To put it very, very diplomatically.
So the fact that Anthropic is paying $15 billion annually to access infrastructure associated with Musk is purely a pragmatic decision. You go where the compute is. When you need that many GPUs, you don't get to be selective about the landlord.
And it reflects how constrained high-end compute supply has been across the entire industry. The bottleneck isn't ideas or talent or even capital at this point. It's physical silicon, running at scale, cooled and powered and maintained.
And $15 billion a year is what it costs to access enough of that to train and run frontier models, which puts the profitability story in a very specific context.
Right? Approaching profitability with a $15 billion annual compute bill is actually extraordinary if true. Because that means your revenue curve has risen to meet costs that would be existential for most companies.
And it makes the enterprise deals look different too. The Bristol-Myers contract, the Gates Foundation collaboration, the NASA relationship, the small business tier. All of that revenue is ultimately contributing to covering an infrastructure cost that most organizations have simply never encountered at this scale.
It also puts the revenue concentration risk in sharp relief. You lose a handful of big enterprise contracts and the math changes very significantly.
Which brings us to something that doesn't fit the triumphant narrative quite as cleanly. There are reports this week that Microsoft canceled internal Claude usage.
Yeah. And this one is, it's worth being careful about because there are several possible readings.
There are. The cost reading is, Microsoft looked at what they were spending on Claude internally and decided it wasn't justified versus alternatives. The competitive reading is, Microsoft has its own AI investments through OpenAI and its own Copilot products. So why would they pay Anthropic for something they can do in-house? And the performance reading is, maybe for some internal use cases, Claude wasn't outperforming other options sufficiently to justify the cost.
And all three are plausible, and the actual reason may involve all of them. But I want to flag the most charitable interpretation, which is, Microsoft is one of the few companies on Earth that genuinely doesn't need to buy Claude because they can build competing capability internally. That is not the same as, Claude isn't good enough.
That is a fair and important distinction. We have in-house capability is a different message than the product disappointed us.
And the broader pattern holds. This week we also have 30,000 Bristol-Myers employees and the Gates Foundation and NASA. The story of enterprise AI in 2026 is not uniform. Different organizations with different needs and different existing capabilities are making very different choices.
Right, there's no single verdict. The verdict is highly contextual.
Which is actually the honest story, even if it's less satisfying than a clean narrative.
All right, let's talk about a product launch that I think is genuinely significant, even if it's getting less attention than the big number stories. Anthropic launched Claude for small business this week.
Yes! And I'm glad we're giving this time because I think this is strategically important in a way that doesn't show up as dramatically in the headlines.
So Anthropic has introduced a dedicated product tier called Claude for small business. And the positioning is explicitly targeting the gap between individual consumer users and large enterprise clients.
Which is, that gap is enormous. The early wave of AI products was basically, here's a consumer chatbot, or here's an enterprise contract that requires a sales cycle and an IT department. Small businesses were left to figure out the consumer tools and make them work for business purposes, which is awkward.
And the specific framing from the coverage is around agents that work inside tools that small businesses already use. Not switch to our platform, not rebuild your workflows. We will come to where you already are.
Which is the right product instinct. A small law firm with 6 people does not have the IT resources to onboard a complex new enterprise platform. If Claude shows up inside the software they're already paying for and already know how to use,
adoption friction goes to near zero.
And think about what the use case looks like in practice. If you're a small business owner, you are probably the sales department, the finance person, the customer service rep, and the operations manager. You are wearing every hat simultaneously. Having an agent that can handle pieces of each of those functions inside the tools you're already in,
that is genuinely transformative for how small businesses operate. Not kind of useful, transformative.
And there's a strategic dimension here that I want to flag. Small businesses becoming dependent on Claude as operational infrastructure. That is a long-term revenue moat. These are recurring subscriptions, not one-time transactions, at scale across an enormous number of businesses.
And it diversifies Anthropic's revenue base away from large enterprise contracts, which carry the concentration risk we discussed. 1,000 small business contracts at lower values each is more stable than 5 huge ones.
Distributed risk, distributed revenue, smart.
There's one more thing from this week's Anthropic news that I want to make sure we cover, and it's a bit different in flavor. Anthropic published a post about what they're calling Project Deal, their Claude Run marketplace experiment.
Okay, this one I've been curious about. Tell me what we know.
So the post describes Anthropic deploying Claude-powered agents to operate autonomously within a simulated marketplace environment. The apparent goal being to test whether Claude instances can manage complex multi-step economic interactions. Pricing decisions, negotiation, transaction logic.
Wait, so Claude agents negotiating with each other? Or with simulated human actors, or both?
The sourcing is limited enough that I don't want to overspecify. But the framing is around testing whether Claude can function as an economic actor in an agentic context. Making decisions, managing trade-offs, operating with some degree of autonomy over economic variables.
And this is fascinating to me because it's a very different kind of capability demonstration than Project Glasswing. Glasswing is about analysis and discovery. Project Deal is about agency and economic decision-making.
Think about what that looks like in real-world deployment. Supply chain management, procurement, dynamic pricing, vendor negotiations. These are all complex, multi-step economic tasks where getting the outcome right matters in a very concrete way.
And if Claude can handle that, not draft me an email to send to a vendor, but actually conduct the negotiation, manage the trade-offs, optimize across multiple competing objectives.
That is where agentic AI starts to look genuinely transformative for business operations at every level. Which is also why the name is so on the nose.
Deal, negotiating a deal.
Very direct.
I respect the naming coherence, Glasswing Deal. These are names that tell you exactly what the project is doing. No obfuscation.
And it connects to Claude for small business in a real way. The agents operating inside existing tools, the capability class underlying that is precisely the kind of agentic, multi-step, economically aware reasoning that Project Deal is testing.
Right, you're not deploying a chatbot into a small business context. You're deploying an agent that understands what the business is trying to accomplish economically and can take steps toward that. The product and the research feed each other.
All right, I promised Sam we'd get to the PCM Ag piece. And Sam, the floor is yours.
Okay, so I want to be fair about this. PCMag Middle East ran a piece this week recommending that people interested in vibe coding. And for listeners, vibe coding is the AI-assisted development practice coined by researcher Andre Karpathy, where you describe what you want in natural language and largely trust the AI to generate the code.
Right. The whole philosophy being you describe intent, not implementation.
Exactly. And the piece recommends ChatGPT over Claude for this workflow. And I want to be fair. Different models have different strengths, different workflows call for different tools. I am not saying this recommendation is necessarily wrong for every person.
Very measured.
But here's the thing that I can't get past. This piece runs in the same week that Anthropic announces Claude Mythos found 10,000 critical software vulnerabilities in 30 days. So on one hand, we're being told Claude may be the most powerful automated code analysis and security research system that has ever existed. And on the other hand, someone is writing a piece saying, actually, for casual coding, try the other thing.
In fairness, those are genuinely different tasks. Automated vulnerability discovery at scale versus natural language-driven feature generation for an individual developer are not the same thing.
They're not, and that's actually my point. Vibe coding is a very specific workflow with very specific qualities you want from a model. It's iterative, it's conversational, it's about turning natural language descriptions into working code quickly and without a lot of friction. That's different from analyze this code base for novel security flaws. Completely different capability profile.
So the PCMag recommendation might be correct for that specific context, and the Glasswing result is correct for its specific context, and neither invalidates the other.
Which is exactly right. I'd still want to know the methodology behind the recommendation. Use ChatGPT instead of Claude for vibe coding is a strong claim, and I want to see how they tested it. But the broader point, model comparisons are highly task-dependent. That is true. What wins on one workflow doesn't automatically win on another.
And in a week where Claude is planning drives on another planet and finding 10,000 zero days?
Maybe not the best vibe coder is a footnote, not a headline.
Context. Always context.
Always.
All right, let's bring in the community reaction, because as always, the conversations on Reddit and Hacker News around this week's news are illuminating in their own right.
The Glasswing response in particular, the security community was very vocal.
So across several subreddits, the dominant reaction to the 10,000 vulnerabilities announcement was a mixture of genuine amazement and healthy pointed skepticism, which is the correct response.
The security community does not give standing ovations easily. These are people who have built careers around finding vulnerabilities the hard way. And when a company announces 10,000 in a month, the first instinct is prove it.
And the comments were largely along those lines. People wanting to see the actual common vulnerabilities and exposures submissions, wanting to know the confirmation rate, wanting the methodology made public.
Which is completely legitimate and healthy. Found 10,000 vulnerabilities and found 10,000 confirmed, independently verified, exploitable novel vulnerabilities are genuinely different claims. The security community knows that distinction viscerally.
There was also a significant thread about what this means for the security job market, which is a conversation that's been building for a while, but this announcement really accelerated it.
Because if Claude Mythos can find vulnerabilities at that rate and scale, what does that mean for penetration testers? For security researchers? For the red teams that companies pay to find their vulnerabilities before attackers do?
The responses split along fairly predictable lines. Some people argued this is clearly automation of the most tedious parts of the work, the broad scanning, the initial triage, and it frees human researchers for more nuanced and creative work. Others were more anxious about it.
And both positions are defensible. History suggests automation tends to shift the nature of work rather than eliminating skilled human roles entirely. But the transition period can be genuinely difficult for people whose specific skill set is what's getting automated.
There was a thread specifically about the finding bugs faster than developers can patch warning, and the reaction there had what I'd describe as resigned recognition. Like people saying, yes, we knew this was coming. We just didn't think it would come this fast.
That's the thing. The threshold was crossed sooner than expected. And now the practical question is, what does the tooling look like on the response side? How do you build a patch pipeline that can operate at anything close to discovery speed?
And the thread actually got into some substantive discussion about automated remediation, whether AI-assisted patching is feasible, what the validation requirements look like, how you ensure that a patching system doesn't introduce new vulnerabilities while closing old ones.
It's turtles all the way down at a certain point. AI finds the bugs, AI patches the bugs, AI validates the patches.
And humans, what, audit the audit?
Increasingly, yes. That is actually the direction the conversation was heading. Human oversight moving up the stack rather than being at the object level.
The Mars rover story got very different energy in those communities.
Pure, uncut enthusiasm, zero arguments.
The rare thread where nobody is fighting.
It's beautiful when it happens. Space nerds and AI people in the same thread, agreeing about something. I want to frame that and put it on the wall.
There were people who work in or closely follow space operations weighing in on the technical context. What current Mars rover drive planning actually looks like. How long the current human-led planning cycles take. What constraints the AI would have been operating under.
And the key point that multiple people made was that this doesn't just automate an existing process. The AI planning capability potentially allows for more frequent and more complex drives than current human-led cycles can support, because the bottleneck in drive planning isn't always scientific judgment, it's processing time, availability of the team, the back and forth of review cycles.
So if AI can handle the baseline planning, humans can focus on the science decisions that actually require human scientific judgment, and the operational tempo improves for both.
Not replacement, extension. That's the ideal framing for AI in critical operations.
The Bristol-Myers thread was heavily financial. A lot of people doing back-of-envelope math on what a 30,000-employee enterprise contract looks like in terms of revenue.
And the numbers people were working with were significant. Even at conservative per-seat estimates, a deployment of that scale is a material revenue contribution.
There was also a competitive dynamics discussion that I found interesting. Other pharmaceutical companies are now watching this. If Bristol-Myers is getting measurable productivity benefits at scale, what does that mean for companies that haven't made the same commitment?
The FOMO factor in enterprise AI is real. This came up both on Reddit and on Hacker News. If your competitor has restructured their clinical operations workflows around AI and you haven't, that's a strategic gap. And that's partly what's driving the rapid enterprise adoption we're seeing.
It's not always because a company has done exhaustive analysis and concluded AI is perfect for their needs. Sometimes it's because they cannot afford to be the company that waited 2 years to find out.
And Bristol-Myers is now the case study that everybody else in pharma is looking at.
The Microsoft cancellation story got a more complicated community response. People had genuinely different readings of it.
Yeah, the in-house capability argument. Microsoft has OpenAI, they have their own products. Why would they pay Anthropic for something they can do internally? Was the most upvoted framing in most threads. And honestly, I think that's the most accurate reading.
There was also a cost scrutiny angle that got real traction. Because the Microsoft news sits right next to the $15 billion compute bill story, and people were doing the math on what the sustainable unit economics look like.
And that's where the community got genuinely nuanced. Approaching profitability is a phrase that can mean several different things depending on which line of the income statement you're looking at. Gross margin profitability is not the same as operating profitability is not the same as free cash flow positivity.
Multiple threads asking which metric the reporting was referring to and not finding a clear answer.
Which is a fair question to be asking. The direction is encouraging. The underlying structure matters a lot. And $15 billion in annual compute costs means you need an enormous amount of recurring revenue to get to real profitability.
The Claude for Small Business launch got a warm reaction that I think reflects something genuine about who's on those platforms.
Because small business owners are on Reddit. They're there, they're real. And the response to finally a tier designed for how I actually operate was not performative enthusiasm. It was people describing their specific situation and explaining why this matters to them.
There were comments from someone running a small accounting firm, someone who runs an independent online store, someone doing freelance project management, all of them basically articulating the same thing, which is the consumer tools are too unstructured for business use, and the enterprise tools require infrastructure they don't have.
And Claude for Small Business is explicitly positioned in that gap, which is sometimes the right product is just correctly identifying where the gap is and building into it.
The project deal discussion was smaller, but the people engaged with it were very into it. Agent economics is a niche topic, but the niche is passionate.
And they were asking the right hard questions. What guardrails do you need when you're deploying an agent to make economic decisions? Because Claude negotiated a better price, sounds great until you think about edge cases.
What if the agent agrees to terms the human principal wouldn't have accepted? What if it misreads a counterparty's intent? What if the optimization target it's pursuing isn't quite the one you actually wanted?
These are real alignment problems in an economic context. And the thread made the point that these problems have historically been hard even with human agents. The principal-agent problem is not a new problem. Adding AI doesn't automatically simplify it.
Right. It changes the surface area of the problem, which may or may not make it more manageable depending on what tools you have for specifying and verifying agent behavior.
The most substantive thread on this was actually about how you verify that an agent did what you intended after the fact, which is, that's a genuinely unsolved problem at the edges.
And one that matters more as agents get more autonomous and the stakes of the decisions they make get higher.
Economic agents in particular. Because unlike, say, a coding agent where you can run the code and see if it works, an economic agent may have made trade-offs that look suboptimal in ways that are hard to detect without deep post-hoc analysis.
All right, let's pull back and synthesize this week before we close out. Because I think there's a coherent story here when you look at all of it together.
Yeah, let's do this.
What is the story of this week? If you had to give a single paragraph to someone who hadn't been following any of this.
The story is, Anthropic crossed multiple thresholds in the same week. A technical threshold with Project Glasswing, AI security capability at a scale and speed that outpaces human capacity to respond. A scientific threshold with NASA, AI as actual operational infrastructure in planetary science. A commercial threshold, approaching profitability, with major enterprise deployments from pharmaceutical companies and a $200 million institutional partnership. And a strategic threshold, expanding into the market below enterprise with a product designed for the millions of small businesses that have been waiting for something that fits them.
Four different dimensions of maturity, all visible in the same week.
And the tension in the story, which is real and shouldn't be glossed over, is the cost and sustainability picture. A $15 billion annual compute bill, a competitor canceling internal usage on cost grounds, questions about the long-term economics when your cost structure is this extraordinary.
Which is the broader story of AI in 2026. Extraordinary capability, genuine and verifiable impact, and economics that are still being resolved in real time.
It is not the naive optimism of 2 years ago, where everything was assumed to work itself out. But it is also not a story of failure or stagnation. It is a story of a technology that has clearly arrived, that is planning drives on Mars, that is finding 10,000 security vulnerabilities a month, that is being trusted with 30,000 pharmaceutical employees, and that is still working out whether the financial model is durable.
And Project Glasswing, for me, is the anchor, because it represents something qualitatively different from everything we've seen before. Not AI is helpful at this task, not AI saves time on this workflow. It's AI is doing something at a scale and speed that is simply beyond the human capacity to replicate. That is a different category of claim.
10,000 zero days, 30 days. That is the week.
That is the week. All right, what are you watching going forward?
The patch rate. Anthropic issued a warning that Claude Mythos finds bugs faster than developers can fix them. And that is an imbalance that has to be resolved somehow. Either the patching side catches up through automation and tooling, or we are in a sustained period where known vulnerabilities exist faster than they can be closed. I want to watch how the security infrastructure responds to this new reality.
Good one. For me, the Mars rover story. I think we will be talking about May 2026 as a milestone in the history of how AI got integrated into space operations. And I want to make sure people register that it happened, even in a week with a lot of competition for attention.
First AI planned drive on another planet. That is a line in the history books. We just need to make sure the history books include it.
That is going to do it for Claude Daily for Saturday, May 23rd, 2026. Thank you for spending your morning with us.
If you are a regular listener, you know the drill. Find us wherever you get your podcasts. And if someone in your life should be following this, let them know we're here. It genuinely helps.
We will be back Monday morning with whatever this industry decides to do between now and then.
And based on the pace of this week,
could be a lot.
Could genuinely be anything.
I'm Alex.
I'm Sam.
This is Claude Daily. Have a great weekend.